Then Councilmember Abdi is at home taking care of family business, so online today. So if it's okay, we'll begin. We're going to start. It's Monday, March 7th, 2022, 5 p.m., and you are joining the hybrid meeting of the Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee. We go no presentations, straight to business agenda, and the first one is the McCam Road South Water Upgrade and Sidewalk Improvements Project, Amendment Number 3, and it says Abdi is going to speak to us.
All right, good evening. McAdam Road, just to give you some background on it, I'm not sure you're all familiar with the project. We started the design phase of McAdam Road back in 2015, and the idea was to upsize. The existing one is a dead-end main, so to upsize it and to loop it so it's better quality, more redundancy, and then to repair the road above the pipe, do the paving, new striping. And then there is a gap in the sidewalk, about 1,000 feet or so of missing sidewalk. It's just a shoulder there on the east side. And part of it is bridging that gap and putting sidewalk there. All of that started a few years ago, but due to funding shortages, we had put it on hold for about 2 or 3 years. We started the design again about a year and a half ago. And everything went well. We were within budget. We started on the construction management. We put it out to bid back in November and awarded the bids end of last year. We had a low bidder, lower than our estimate. Throughout this whole process, we were hoping we would be able to do the inspection in-house for that project, but we just do not have the staff. The one city inspector that we have is working on another capital improvement project for the city. So the reason we're bringing this forward is to add an amendment number 3 to contract 21-022 with PACE so they can provide additional construction management services, including the inspector, and that's a full-time inspector on field just to be our eyes and ears while the contractor is doing the work. And we are looking to add that to the agenda, to the consent agenda for March 21st, 2022. Please let me know if there are any questions.
Councilmember Hobby, do you have any questions?
Yes, so we talked about, you know, when you guys first did the design in 2015, you guys are trying to do better quality, you guys had a shortage of funds, you guys are working on some projects. You particularly even talked about the gap in the sidewalk. Just wanted to see where's the status with that situation as far as that, and, you know, how long do you think it'll take for you guys to complete the project?
Absolutely, great questions. We are 100% done with the design. There's a very small portion related to storm, and that comes out of the storm fund. The vast majority of the project is out of the water fund. The portion that's not is the sidewalk, but Brittany and a few others were able to help us get a grant. So 80% of that is paid for, the sidewalk is paid for through that grant that we do not need to pay back. And the other 20% is just the match funding. And we are done with all of that. It's going to be a looped, upsized water main as we wanted back in 2015. We have just started construction last week on McAdam. You might have seen the signs driving by. And that is expected to go for about 4 to 5 months. Just a one-lane rolling closure. Probably just 4 days a week, but it may be 5 days a week.
Thank you so much, Adi, for helping me clarify that. And, you know, you and your team have been doing a good job, so appreciate it.
Thank you.
Councilmember Sharp.
The $150,062.40, what is that paying for? What are you getting again? Can you just tell me that? Is it paying for a salary of somebody, like an inspector?
Yeah, they're not working here. We're contracting an inspector. More than, I think, almost 100% of that is going directly to pays to pay for a full-time inspector, just because we only have one. And right now we have two projects going on. So it's just an inspector to be out there 40 hours a week for 4 to 5 months.
So for 4 to 5 months, the cost of an inspector is $150,000?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. I'm fairly familiar with the project, and I understand the amendment completely. I see the budget, and you're well under. So I'm just going to ask the other council members, are they in, do we have a decision there, or just a forward? It's going to be forwarded to the 321 regular consent agenda. So I have support for that from the other council members. Head nods will work.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's all three. It's going to go unanimously. Next item is 2B, 42nd Avenue South Bridge Replacement Project, the RAISE grant application. And I got Brittany Robinson. Are you taking that up?
Yes, I am. Good evening, council members. Thank you for having me here tonight. So for those of you I haven't met, my name is Brittany Robinson, and I'm the grant analyst for the Public Works Department. So I am here tonight to bring forward a request to submit a grant application to the RAISE grant, which is an application, which is an acronym for Rebuilding American Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity, in the amount of $8,429,000 for the 42nd Avenue Bridge project. So this grant is through the U.S. Department of Transportation, and they help fund infrastructure for roadways, bridges, and other projects that support local and regional travel. And so the idea behind this grant is that hopefully, if we receive this funding, it will fill in the funding gap for the 42nd Avenue project. Since based off of numbers provided from the draft TSNL report, or type size and location report.
Hey, Anthony, is there something wrong with this gate over here? I can't get in.
Hey, we can hear you. Maybe you want to mute? I think it's just a telephone. It's muted now. Okay, keep going, Brittany.
Okay.
I think they were out of there.
$8,429,000, based off of estimates from the type, size, and location report, is the required amount to complete the funding for the project. And so that's what we're hoping to request for this grant. The one caveat is that it requires a 20% match, which is $2,107,250. However, we do have sufficient funding through the solid waste utility tax that's allocated to this project to use for that match. And so based off of that, we are requesting that the committee approve moving forward with this application submittal.
Right. I'm going to go around the wheel a different direction. Council Member Sharp, comments or questions?
So to get $8 million, $8.4 million, we have to match with $2.1 million. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's all I have. Thank you.
Council Member Aldi.
Yes. Thank you so much, Brittany, for, you know, the report and everything. We appreciate that. And so basically, this is a grant that you guys need approved, correct?
So we're requesting approval to submit the application.
To submit it. Okay. Yep. Councilmember Stripe asked the same question I had about the 20%. Just wanted to clarify that was the match for 2.1, as you said, correct? I think I had the same question I had, so I appreciate that. So thank you, Brittany.
All right, I'm going to bring up the rear by saying these matches are formulatic in nature, and they ask that the city have skin in the game when they're using federal dollars. The trend is changing, I think, for the future, because that also farm small cities like this, it's very hard for us to come up with money like that. So we're fortunate to have a way to make the match. But it's also very, very hard to get a USDOT grant. And this is like right up our alley. So I've got my fingers crossed, Brittany, that you deliver some magic here. It would be very helpful to our bridge. and I will do my best. The next week I have an opportunity to speak at the national level, and I will reach out to anyone I can. If there's a one or two pager you guys have on this that I can run out with, even though it's premature and you're just applying, I'd really appreciate it. With that, I'm going to, this is a committee approval level, so it's not going to go to council for vote or consideration. Just looking for a flat out yes or no from each one of you, council members.
Yes, get that money.
It's a yes for me.
Right, and yes for me, so that passes unanimously. That's city administrator. Please do take the conversation further.
So council members, council chair and council members, David Klein, city administrator. I'm not sure if the owl is going to catch me here, even though I'm trying to speak very loudly here. I'll wave my arms around here, see if I'm in the panoramic view. Since we're on 42nd Avenue South Bridge Replacement Project, I just wanted to give you a timeline. It's a good timeline on the funding. Is on the 14th, we came to the council with a 30% design on type, size, and location. And you told us to go out to the community and get community input on that. We went out to the Allentown community on February 22nd. And we heard very good comments, some concerns about placing it on the 124th, which is option B, placement on 124th versus the current option A, which is replace 42nd in the current location. So staff is taking that input. We're going to be going back out to the community. We're going to do, the council asked us to do a community survey. So that survey probably will be out this next week, so that more people can introduce and get input on that type, size, and location. We're still on schedule to come back to the next Transportation Committee meeting on the 21st of March with a recommendation of what we heard from the community. We'll go back out to Allentown on the 22nd. And from the committee recommendation, if it's ready, we'll go to the COW on the 28th of March. And right now, I think the staff, even though the consultants looked at a triple net and looking at the cost benefits of 124th, we heard really clearly from the Allentown, I think one of the Allentown members said it very clearly, is engineering studies are one piece of the puzzle, but you need to have community input for the other parts of the puzzle. And we heard some really good comments about traffic flow, concerns about, you know, intersections, about heights of walls that would need to be there on 124th. And so we're still getting more community input, but right now, when we come back on the 24th, I think the staff will be recommending that 42nd Avenue South Bridge be replaced in its current location as the option A, and not be the 124th option B, which was the two options that we were looking at. So I just want to say that is it looks like the staff will be recommending to the council from the community feedback we've currently received, and we're going to get more of that, that we replace 42nd Avenue South Bridge on its current location. And the good thing is that because of the council's leadership on funding is from 2 years ago of having no funding for this project, because the council put its money first, you've been very successful at the state and the federal level, and this grant and other grants hopefully will come in and fund that 42nd Avenue South Bridge in its current location. So that's why I wanted to give you some updates. We're going to have more conversation on March 21st when we come back to committee, and there'll be a couple more community meetings. But want to just tell the committee as we have information, we want to share that with you. Any questions about that?
Some good momentum, and I'm just going to go back to Councilmember Hobby and ask, do you have any questions or comments on what you just heard?
No questions, but I appreciate you, David, for just the intel, the insight, and the update. You know, I'm hoping, like I said, you know, we try to meet the community's needs, and I think we're doing a good job by providing all these opportunities. We're trying to be engaged with them and everything, you know, with the Allentown meetings, and, you know, they're asking great questions and great comments in our meetings and everything. So, just trying to, I think we're doing a good job, and hopefully, again, we help produce some great outcomes for everybody. So that's all I have for a comment.
Councilmember Sharp.
So as far as projects like this, the community survey goes out to the people, but how do we ensure that every citizen knows about the survey to fill out? Like, is there a way that letters can be sent out to the residents of Tukwila so that they all know about this, or the Hazelnut in addition? I mean, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it comes to the design of the look of this bridge, I mean, people have opinions and everyone's paying for this darn thing. So I would think that everyone should have a say,
right?
Or at least be told about this bridge and then have an opportunity to respond or not. You know,
right.
No response means like you're good with what's there. If they have a response, we want to know about it. So what steps are taken to make sure everyone, including our business residents, know about this bridge? Is there surveys created? Great. Now, if I'm a citizen and I can't be at this meeting, I'm on a bus going to work or coming home from work or taking care of my kids, how am I going to know about it?
Right. And council member, that's a great question, because we are always looking for ways to get out to the community. And so one example is that we'll make sure that however we get it out to the community with a link, we'll send it to all the council members. And if you can add to that and send it out through your connections, that would add to that those connections. On the 42nd Avenue South Bridge, the current issue is really about the location. The type and size was a community meeting we had back in September. We got some community input, and they gave us some nice examples of what kind of railings, what kind of lighting, some of the landscaping were some of the comments that we got back in September, and we're using that feedback on the actual size and type of the bridge. The location is a big issue for you as a council member. So we'll make sure that the community survey goes out and find out all the ways that we can get that on our website, send that out to you using other means of communication, because what we're hoping is that if you choose a location, then we can start designing the final bridge. And there'll be more community input, because we're only at the 30% design of the actual bridge itself. There's still a lot more. As the consultants came out to, as they talked to you a couple weeks ago, but also in the community, we're only at 30% design of the whole bridge, so there's more to get to the 100% design, which will take the whole next year.
Sure. But what I'm wondering is, when I go to a construction site, they have a big board that tells you, like, what's proposed to be there.
Right.
Can there be a way that the city can send a letter to each and every individual of Tukwila? I mean, to do that is about $8,000. I know personally what it costs to do, but if this project's $27+ million at the end of the day, it would seem like a small number to make sure everyone knows what's going on with this bridge.
Yeah, that's a good question, council member.
How can I make that work? What can I do to get the letter so that folks who are sitting in a business like that's down the road from that gets a letter saying, oh, that's what they're going to do with the bridge. Oh, here's the link. How can I do that? How can I
So right now, we do not probably have the budget specifically to mail to every single individual in Tukwila. If you did want to make that suggestion and your fellow council members agreed with that budget, you could do that at the regular meeting tonight. I'd like to add $8,000 from, and we'd have to go find that money to send a letter out to every single business and resident and see if there is a majority of the council that wants to amend the budget for that type of letter to go out. Right now, I don't think we have that type of budget to ask about this specific. We've done different community outreach and sent information out along the way. And there'll be other ways also that we can do that. But if you want a letter for this specific thing about location, should it be on the current location on 42nd, or should it be on the 124th, option B? That probably is going to be a budget amendment that I'd be looking to the council to give us direction.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't have to be specifically the spot,
mm-hmm.
but it could have everything that any citizen that would want to know about this bridge, including the survey and all the notes and details, so they can kind of make an informed decision as far as when this project continues. So if the city of Tukwila is prepared to get, you know, $27 million to get this bridge out, I'm sure I can get support for $8,000 to make sure every citizen knows about it. So if not, then that's what the council decides. But as far as I'm concerned, I think anybody who has to put money in this, anybody that has a care about this should know about it.
Great. No, I like your suggestion of having something on site. We have a pretty extensive website right now on about 42nd Avenue South Bridge, and gives that information. If people go to our website, they would know all the different pieces of this. But I like that suggestion of, can we put something on site with a, I can see a QR code or something that people who are walking by or want to know about the bridge that they could just interact. That's probably a lower cost solution, because this isn't going to be the only decision that the council will interact on, because we'll come back with 100% design with contracts at the end of this year, hopefully, so that you can, you know, if we can proceed forward with all the funding, and we start construction next year, is the current plan right now.
Sure. I guess when we get to 100%, it's sort of like we're almost there.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, it's best to bring people along in the beginning so that mm-hmm. by the time you end up, we end up wherever we end up, it's not like a mystery or a surprise. So
right.
That's all. Thank you.
That's good. Thank you.
I got a couple of questions. They're a little bit tangential, but they're still all about the bridge. One, we received a letter back. Our mayor and the council president sent out letters to different political and high-level official posts, and Secretary Millar, I believe, was the one that suggested we send something to him.
Mm-hmm.
He responded, and are you able to give a quick high-level, what was the response, and then B, I know I want it pushed out to the public, especially Allentown, because they're very into what's going on.
Right. So you're exactly right. We, with the council's leadership and direction and the mayor's direction, we, as a city, sent out letters to all our elected officials about the current situation in Allentown on 42nd, plus the Cotega Bridge and other concerns that the community has. And we sent that letter out. We also sent specific letters to Washington State Department of Transportation, to the Secretary, Millar, as you mentioned, and also to BNSF. And we have received in the last few days letters responses from both BNSF and also Department of Transportation. So we are, I think you were already CC'd. If not, we'll make sure Mr. Ponacenti is on the line as well. We'll send that to the council. And then we also have a listserv that we send out to the Allentown community, and we'll probably do that later tonight or probably tomorrow morning. Both of those responses that we got from Burlington Northern Santa Fe and also from Washington State Department of Transportation. Just in summary, the Burlington Northern Santa Fe letter was really about concerns that the community had about overweight trucks. BNSF believes that they are within the weight restrictions that both bridges have. Also, they are concerned about safety. That's their number one priority, is what they say in this letter, with some other information there. But it was really about the current situation, the bridges, and their own trucks. And so BNSF responded to you, to the city, and we'll make sure that's available to you and the community. Washington State Department of Transportation also concerned about safety, and they listed all the ways that they have supported the city of Tukwila in getting funding for the replacement of the 42nd Avenue South Bridge, including the $12 million that we received from state grants, and that we're currently in the still being worked out transportation package. So we have a lot of good partners, more to go on those things and beginning that conversation, but those are the conversations really with the mayor and the council's leadership we've begun and continued with these local partners as well.
I'm going to add on to that to say we also got some kind of a letter, email from Representative Hackney.
Mm-hmm.
And did you want to summarize that quickly? And
yeah, I don't have, I've been out a little bit, so I don't have the full, Representative Hackney also sent some information wanting us to work on, and we've had, I think the mayor was in a meeting with Representative Hackney a couple weeks ago, and concerned also about safety and the concerns in the neighborhood too, and I think we're working on a response and coordination with Representative Hackney as well, and we'll share the both the BNSF letter and the DOT, Washington State Department of Transportation letter, with Representative Hackney as well.
All right. Can we get the Hackney letter pushed out to the public as well? I'm just trying to demystify any communications with people that our residents vote for and business people support. The last thing is probably a little bit of a surprise. I went through the vouchers, and I was looking at a KPG invoice that was paid out to the tune of $80,000, but the monthly check was around $5,700. And it talked about a traffic study. And I just want to, I'm catching you a little off guard on this one, as was I when I was going to the vouchers. But I'm just curious, are we doing a traffic study? Because there have been people from the public who come in and said, well, you needed a traffic study.
Mm-hmm.
And is that...
I believe, and I'll look to Director Ponacenti, but I believe the KPG, they do lots of different services with us because they're good consultants and we go out to bid every time for them. I think the traffic study in Allentown is actually about the mayor council direction about traffic calming activities on 124th. And so that's probably the voucher that you saw was payment for that type of report, which is coming to this committee in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And so on March 21st, we're also going to come back to this committee with the recommendations from this traffic consultant looking at 124th. How can we slow down? How can we make it safe for pedestrians to cross 124th? How can we keep from, you know, cut through traffic off of 124th and 42nd? So I think there's going to be recommendations that this committee will see first. Last year, the council gave direction and funding to fund some of those traffic calming through your traffic calming program. And Allentown 124th was one of those priority areas as well. So KPG is doing studies throughout the city, but I think the study that you're most interested in right now is about the traffic calming on 124th.
This leads to my last question. I know from a couple of meetings ago and last meeting, I've been asking that we, at least the council members, get the priority list that was handed over from last year.
Okay.
And I wonder why that would be public. Is there some way we
can? It is public. It's in the finance. Yeah, it's in your finance memo when you adopted the budget amendments back in November.
So under the traffic calming part of the website, is there a chance we could just put a link to it? Because I know I went to go talk to someone else about speed cushions and where they were at. I was pretty sure, as it turned out, they were on a short list to get the speed cushions in their street. But I couldn't find it, and
okay.
So it just seems like we ought to make it easy to discover.
That's great suggestions. Let's make sure that it's on more accessible, because it was in this committee last year, at the end of last year, transportation went through that priority, and I believe we're actually using some of the federal assistance through the ARPA funds to reinstate that program that had to be, was curtailed a little bit during the pandemic and the revenue losses due
right.
to that.
Right.
So,
okay,
yeah.
Perfect. And then the last item is, unless you guys have any more questions, council members, the last item is 2C. It's a solid waste contract status update. And I got Mr. Larnett.
Yes. Hello. Good evening, council members. My name is Kristen Lerner. I'm a budget and management analyst with Public Works. And I'm here today to give you a status update on the request for proposals, also known as RFP. Process, as well as some insights on the results of our resident survey and then how it's been reflected in the RFP. So to catch you up from where you might remember from our last update on January 18th, staff received industry feedback and then we administered a resident survey in advance of our February 7th release of our RFP and draft contract. So before discussing our survey results at a little more length, I'll direct you to your info memos, which display where we are currently at in the process schedule, highlighted with that blue box there. So the RFP was released 1 month ago today, and the potential proposers now have three different distinct periods with which to ask questions in advance of submitting their proposals by a deadline of April 18th, after which those proposals are scored, and we recommend a contractor in the summer of 2022 in order to take over November 1st, 2023. So beyond the resident survey, the other item of note is that regional trends have indicated that we should expect a substantial increase in what our cost proposals are for monthly rates for service. You know, as it stands, Tukwila currently offers the lowest residential rates in the area at almost half of the regional average. And unless there are any questions about that, I will share my screen to briefly share the results of the survey.
Go ahead and share.
Okay, let's do it. I'm using this new Teams function where I can share a PowerPoint like within Teams, so we'll see how this goes. Okay.
You can see it good.
Great. Fantastic. So this is the the survey analysis of the solid waste RFP survey that we administered between the holidays of 2021. So as a brief overview, city staff created and administered an online survey to assess resident priorities in the next solid waste contract. The survey was open for 3 weeks, and we received 112 responses from nearly every neighborhood in Tukwila. And then as a reminder, the survey measured these priorities for the next contract, and it wasn't meant to assess satisfaction with current levels of service. So to begin, we saw that residents valued reliability significantly above cost and customer service. In fact, almost 70% of respondents ranked reliability as their first overall priority, compared to 19% and 9% for cost and customer service, respectively. And this is potentially good news as we move into potentially higher cost of service as we move into that next contract. Next, respondents overwhelmingly expressed support for the status quo in garbage collection and voted to keep it at every week collection. And correspondingly, our RFP reflects these wishes, and we mandate that all proposals keep garbage collection as a weekly service. Further, respondents were split almost 50-50 on recycling, however. So while the status quo is currently biweekly recycling pickup, half of respondents expressed interest in more frequent recycling, picked up at a weekly cadence. So this would obviously come with additional costs, but in order to reflect resident priorities, the city has included an option for haulers to include estimates for weekly recycling as a contract alternative, so that when we are scoring the proposals, we can see what the price differential would be in order to incorporate weekly recycling service. We also saw that respondents generally felt that composting should be an opt-in service and not mandatory. And then as such, our draft contract keeps composting as an opt-in service and does not include it as an embedded aspect of the solid waste service. Finally, we heard feedback around the importance of customer education, the need for both bulky item pickup as well as drop-off, as well as interest in finding outlets for difficult to recycle items. So as a result, we enhanced our contract language around customer education, including requirements that the hauler offer disposal options for difficult to recycle items. We also kept in provisions allowing for a free annual bulky item pickup and included the requirement of at least 2 bulky item drop-off events every year, along with our grant-funded collection events for difficult to recycle items. So in summary, staff used these survey results to ensure that resident priorities are going to be reflected in this next contract. We heard that reliability is important, so we incorporated enhanced language around monitoring operational performance. We heard an interest in more frequent recycling, so our RFP will get cost estimates for making recycling a weekly service. And we heard that customer service should be responsive and address people's needs, so we added new performance measures around the handling of customer calls. As we continue through the RFP process, we'll work to ensure that the new contract reflects resident priorities and what they need from a garbage provider. Thank you, and I'm open for any questions.
Right, Councilmember Sharp, questions, comments?
Yes, it's mostly to David. No offense, Griffin, but Griffin, it looks like it went out to 112 people. There's 22,000 people that live here in Tukwila. So that's what I mean. It's like we create a survey, but no one's turning in the survey, because that's not really a good enough number to kind of base a huge contract of this magnitude that impacts everybody on 112 people. So to me, I mean, I like the survey, right? I took it. But it's like it doesn't really reflect all the residents that really have something to say about it. So there needs to be something that fixes this process where we get more people to turn in the survey or fill it out. Maybe the city has one page that has all these surveys, and it's a simple link that we send to people. But 112 people out of 22,000 doesn't seem like a good enough collection of data to make any kind of informed decision. Mm-hmm. So though I like the questions and I like the survey, I just don't think enough people had a chance to fill it out or even see it. So mm-hmm. that's my only comment.
Yeah. Good comments, Councilmember. We are always looking for ways that we can increase participation in activities and also survey. And so we're open to suggestions about how we could increase those numbers. I think you're right that we want more voices at the table. And so I think some of the things that we've seen in the teen and senior program and outreach that was done there, we purposely added significant, the council added significant budget to be more comprehensive. And that's why we had, I think, over 70 individual meetings with people all across, and it was well supported with funding to do that. And so the question that you raise is, how can we replicate that? How can we scale that up for all of these things so that you know what you're getting from the community? And I'm open to suggestions about how do we, when we put out surveys, how do we get people to take them? I think that's a great idea.
So as far as that, I know it's kind of off topic, but I get the hazelnut. I mm-hmm. don't know. How does the city determine who gets it? Does everyone get that letter?
Yes, everyone.
So
yeah.
We have a good idea, like, as far as how to reach everybody, because we have their address, mm-hmm. clearly because of that hazelnut. Does the business shop owners and the community get that hazelnut as well? And if not, why can't yeah. they add it?
Right. No, I'm going to say I believe they do, but I don't. Let me follow up on that. That's okay. a good question. I and believe
then,
they do.
Okay. And then can we put that survey, and then instead of just being in a one-off, 1 month, like on a continuous basis, like a section in there? I know that's the mayor's form of, you know, communicating as well as the city, but there should be a section allocated towards feedback as far as you want to know what's going on. 42nd Bridge, a little thing there that says, hey, this is what we're going. That we're already mailing to people. It seems like, you know, it's kind of the highlights of what the city is doing. But, you know, most people are not interested in the highlights. We're looking for, like, you know, a way to find out what's going on in our city. Mm-hmm. And I do see information in there that's helpful. Mm-hmm. Is there a way how do we can incorporate, like, this survey along with the 42nd Bridge and any other big project in there on a rotating basis so that people can see it, and that when they get this hazelnut, they know it's just more than picked out highlights. There's something of substance there that kind of means something. Can that be done?
Yeah. So I think you're right that the hazelnut is one of the many means. And even with the hazelnut, we have sometimes we've done surveys, if I remember correctly. It's hard for people to take surveys and get that feedback. And so I'm intrigued by just some of your comments about how can we do better? Because we want to do better. We want to get people's feedback. And so hazelnut is one of those. We added the e-hazelnut to kind of give us more options out to more people. And those are all the good questions about what we've heard sometimes is that we do ask surveys. And the nice thing I liked about this survey was it was, what did we hear and how did we change our RFP because of what we heard? And I think that was a pretty good, because people want their feedback to be used. And I think this is a good way to show. And so if people take the next survey, they know that we will actually use their feedback to improve our processes like we did in this RFP process.
Agreed. Yeah. 112 people is just not enough. Just not enough.
I'm open to how do we get
12 people here at this facility. That's right. Just, and they're making a decision that's going to impact everybody in Tupelo. So that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. We'd love to have more voices at the table, and we support that. We value that as well.
Of course. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
Councilmember Abi.
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say, Griffin, thank you so much for the report. You know, I really do agree with Councilmember Sharp. That's what I wanted to raise. I don't think it has anything to do with you guys, because you guys are doing the best that you guys can to get more representation. And I love that you guys value our residents, you know, their voice and what they want. But 112 is a short sample size, I feel like. And I feel like, I know that outreach is very hard. You know, I'm someone who, you know, the work that I do outreach is very, very hard. And I think this is something that's very important. It's a very important process. It's a very important thing that we're doing with the city. But we need more participation. We need more. And I think maybe as a city, we need to try to help you guys to get better outreach, you know. So I guess now my question, so I have a few questions. So Ms. Councilmember Sharp, you touched on that, and David, you touched on the participation part and needing, more participation. In the survey that you did, Griffin, where were the people, what communities were they from, from looking at those numbers? I'm curious to know, so I could get an idea of what, like, because, Tukwila is broken down to, several neighborhoods. I'd like to know who, is there any way that we can know who participated in the survey?
Yes, I can actually answer that pretty specifically. And I'll also add that we did actually advertise for this in the Hazelnut as well as the E-Hazelnut. It did happen over the holidays, which is an unfortunate time for a lot of people to, to be taking surveys, and that's just sort of the way that it shook out with the RFP process being released in February. The survey happened as we crossed over the holidays. But we advertised in the Hazelnut as well as on the City of Tukwila Facebook page, and then sent out a few reminders over the course of the survey being open. But to answer your question, Councilmember Abdi, the most represented neighborhoods were Tukwila Hill, Allentown, and Riverton. And then we saw a fair amount of participation from Cascade View and the Foster area, as well as Thorndike. The most underrepresented areas were Ryan Hill. We didn't receive any responses from. And then the South Center District was also pretty low in the participation.
Thank you so much for giving me that clarity. That's very, very important. And, I'm glad that you guys have that data, because, yeah, we're going to have to try to find ways to get Ryan Hill more involved. We're going to have to find ways to get, South Center, that community involved, And I guess now this also leads to my next question, is because there's a, unfortunately, it's not like we're finger pointing or blaming anything like that. Unfortunately, we have a low sample size. Is this survey finalized? And is there a way, and if it's not finalized, is there a way we could extend the timeline of this survey so that we can get more people involved? Because it sounds like, again, for me and, Councilmember Sharp, like, I think many people would agree, we need to get you guys a larger sample size that better represents our communities. So is there a way we could extend the survey, I guess you could say, or is it finalized?
So I can take that question, Councilmember Abdi. The process is currently moving on. So we have finalized the actual contract document, but there's still an opportunity. If you guys direct us, we can continue to put another survey out there. We can take the recommendations that are going to come out from the next survey. If there are any elements that we think we should include in the upcoming contract at the time, we still have some time. It may be an addendum added to the contract that we have to negotiate with the contractor, but we're here to follow the direction you, the council, and the committee are going to give us.
Thank you. Thank you, Hari, for helping me answer that. Yeah, this is tricky, I'm also, learning this as much as anybody else, and I think, again, this is an important process, is important work that's been done, but, we need more participation, so I'm trying to figure out how we could also help you guys get better outreach, and how the city could help. I guess now my last question, sorry to be taking up too much time, to David, is, do we have an outreach team? I know there's people that in our staff that helps us get all this information, things like that. But I guess maybe a suggestion is, I think, Councilman Sharp has some great suggestions. I like some of the other replications that we've had. So like the Teen Senior Center, we had Champions, right? Nate Robinson is leading that project, with many other individuals. And what I liked about that is he found some community champions to try to help, get people involved, So I think, maybe we need to, get some champions to be a part of this project so that, we can get better, participation. But I don't know, how do you, I guess my question is, how could we get more people involved so we can get better data? Or how could the city get involved?
If I may, I'll just jump in. Councilmembers, these are the same questions and the same values that we bring to the table about how do you involve community in decision making. And I think that's been a core value working here for the last 10 years that the council has about, you asked this about how do we bring the community into budget. And I think it is a question for all of us to figure out is we ask a lot of our community and a lot of, we want to know what the community feels and how do we get better outreach. And we don't do it perfectly. And we are trying to find out how do we improve that. And I think as we go into the budget process is that we may be able to maybe reprioritize funding or staff time. Is we did create a communications department about probably 7 years ago that we didn't have. We didn't have a communications department, and we created that to, you know, bring the e-hazelnut, and we did more internal communications, more social media presence that I know I'm looking at Councilmember Preller, she remembers when we didn't have that as much. And so we're a learning organization, and so it is really about how do we prioritize funding and staff for the council versus everything else that's on our plate. But we would like to make sure that we do the appropriate outreach. And so that could be a key priority that you give to us as we go into the budget process and looking into 23-24, how do we fund better community outreach on all the things that we want the community to be involved in.
Yeah, no, I sympathize. You know, I think outreach is very hard. You know what I mean? I'm not like upset or disappointed or anything like that, anybody, but it's hard, you know. And I think, you know, yeah, hopefully we get more people to participate. You know, these are, you know, important things that are going on. And yeah, the numbers don't reflect like you know, Councilmember said, we have 22,000 people that live in Tukwila, you know. So it's you know, we could have better numbers. But yeah, I do like you mentioned social media. I think that's really powerful. You know, social media is powerful. So, and I think you mentioned that, Griffin, as well. But, you know, maybe we're going to have to try to find some new ways that we can try to get some more outreach through social media. It could be through video, you know what I mean, a short of videos, you know, that kind of encapsulates, you know, what the message is about and, you know, what we're trying to get away with the survey. So, yeah, but I don't want to take up too much time. I appreciate you guys. Thank you, Griffin, and thank you, David.
Well, all good comments. The only comment I have is, when you come to council and you want to spend money in a certain direction on communications, I would like you to benchmark with other cities. It's not that hard to AWC or FCA. Find out who's successful, and it doesn't always have to do with money. Some of the ways people are being able to reach out and communicate with their residents. So if there are best practices to be found, not only that, but in the Managers Association, City Managers Association, et cetera, why reinvent the wheels? There's some people already succeeding on it. We use their techniques. So that'd be nice rather than just saying, can I have some money to get a consultant and run with it. All right, with that, this was a discussion item only, and there's one more item under miscellaneous is the Allentown community update from Panashanti. And I see in the back a lot of questions. I know they were reorganized by Allentown, so I'm kind of hoping we're going to be able to talk through and learn more from you, Hari, on some of the things that you're doing to address them.
Sure. Thank you, Committee Chair. So we've been getting a lot of questions, and staff is trying to do our best to kind of gather them in different parts. So the questions that you have in this set are 18 questions that we have gathered from January 14th to February 14th. So they're not the full set. We do have a master document that has roughly 67 questions on it, and it's growing. I do want to share that with you that this is not the full on set. So if your question is not in it, that means it's in either the previous one or it's in the next set. So I just want to share that with you. And then with that, so I want to go into some of the questions. And I think I want to respect our police chief, Eric Rivers' time. Question number one, and there are questions 11, 12 are related to Chief Driver and his staff. So I would like Driver to come on and give his answers. Chief, are you present?
Yeah, I'm here. I do not have the questions directly in front of me, if you could read them to me.
Yeah. I can read the first question, Chief, that says, provide information on traffic enforcement in Allentown, including emphasis patrols, warnings, tickets, and congestion mitigation. And this question was from January 18th. And I think you sent an email. We forwarded it to the council on 21st.
Right. We had answered a question related to a specific time period, but we also went deeper. The time period was December, find it here, I apologize, December 15th through January 18th. We were asked about accidents and speeding tickets in that neighborhood, along with the enforcement activity that we were taking place as it relates to safety for the Allentown neighborhood related to the bridge and truck traffic. So during that time frame, we didn't have any tickets that were written. However, we did have 4 accidents, 2 injury, 2 non-injury, not counting the accident that of the truck striking the bridge. So enforcement activities since then have been comprised of our traffic unit getting down to the area and running speeding zone, but we haven't been catching anybody speeding, especially as it relates to the trucks. However, we have noticed that there have been trucks that have been driving down 42nd, and so any of the trucks that appear to be over the gross vehicle weight for that area, we were stopping and informing that they are not allowed to be going down the street. Additionally, we've reached out to Expo Freight, Saya Freight, and Rendering Works in the rail yard to explain the situation with the 42nd Avenue Bridge. And with the exception of Saya Freight, they've all relayed to us that they were aware of the bridge issues and that they are following the detours. But with Saya Freight, they said that they're suspending their operations in the area with the exception of one truck that only travels once on occasion twice a day. So it has reduced the traffic related to the truck issues in the area because of the communications that have been going on. The traffic unit also is working with Public Works to put the radar data gathering signage on 42nd and westbound 124th. We have, since last time we spoke with council, found out that one of the cameras is has actually been stolen, or one of the radar signs has been stolen. So we're looking on the process for getting that replaced so that we can start collecting data again. And the sign monitoring the eastbound on South 124th revealed to us that we had a total between February 28th and March 6th, that 1 week total of about 10,000 vehicles going through. Now, that's encompassing all vehicles, not just trucks, and that the average speed of the individual vehicles going over were driving slightly over 30 miles per hour, but less than 35. So we're looking at about, you know, 5 or 6 miles an hour over the speed limit. So we're looking at putting together an emphasis where we can provide warnings. We did not feel it was appropriate to be providing tickets for doing 4 or 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, especially where the speeding is being done by residents, not by the trucks. In the meantime, we're also looking to get the traffic units up with the commercial vehicle inspection training. There's nothing locally for us to send them to, so we're still looking for something local so that we can send more of our traffic officers to it instead of just sending a single person to get trained for a out-of-state training. So that's where we're at right now, and hopefully we'll have more as we go forward as we work with Public Works on the signage and the radar units, getting them up so we can gather more data.
Well, we pause for quick questions and comments. Is that okay, Howard?
Go ahead. If you go ahead and talk to Chief Driver, any questions you have, Council.
Councilmember Abdi.
Thank you, Chief Driver, for giving us clarification. I don't have any questions at this time. Thank you.
Councilmember Sharp.
I don't have any questions. Thanks.
Okay. For my good, to Driver, are you at a plateau? Are you going to increase? Are you going to do, it's summer is coming. And I don't think speeds get lower in the summertime. So, because the weather clears up and things are easier to do. So are you going to step up in any particular ways or have emphasis patrols? What's the plan?
Well, as it stands right now, we're continuing to have traffic manage the emphasis for Allentown. They are doing down there daily. I don't know where we are as it relates to stepping it up more than what we're doing, because we have other neighborhoods that are also asking for emphasis related to speeding. And we are currently having staffing issues that are requiring us to draw upon traffic and our CPT to backfill patrol shifts to make sure the primary function of responding to calls is filled first. So depending upon the staffing, the answer is yes, we plan to continue the emphasis and continue to dial in and find ways for us to address the problem for Allentown. However, it's also contingent upon the other operational needs for the city, which hopefully as we move forward with our recruitment efforts, we should see an increase in our staffing that would allow for us to do a little bit more as we get into the summer.
Well, many of us have been painfully aware of your staffing shortfalls and are concerned along with you about them, but spending that aside, I know that in Allentown particularly, they noticed that we only kind of go up to a T7 in terms of our patrols, and that they're a District 9 area, and they're thinking that we don't have patrols that go through Allentown the way other neighborhoods get them. And would you like to address that real quickly?
Well, considering the emphasis we've been doing, they've been getting more attention over the last 2 months since the accident than any other district in the city. So they are part of the TOM 9, and so they do, even though we don't, on occasion, when we're short-staffed, don't staff the TOM 9, the TOM 1 and the TOM 7 try and accommodate for that, and we'll make sure that we do go up there as well. And it just means that both districts end up getting less coverage.
That's a fair answer. And I owe you an email back. I just haven't slammed lately, so don't think that I didn't care.
Oh,
I just
don't worry. I know what you're talking about.
I will catch up when we both find time. Thank you very much for that. And Hari, do you want to continue with these?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Council Member Sharp has a question for Council Member Driver. My bad.
Yes, Chief. My understanding is what's the current count of officers that you're down as far as staffing?
Right now, we are currently down 4. At the end of March here, we have another officer that is retiring, and so we'll be down 5 of our budgeted positions. We still have our 7 positions that are frozen, so that'll be a total of 12 positions we're down. So right now, we have recruitment efforts going on for both entry level and for our lateral. The entry-level oral boards are going on this week. We're interviewing 30 people. And so hopefully, excuse me a second. Sorry about that. My family literally just came home, and they're all walking past the office, and I didn't have to. And so we should be making some entry-level hires off of that. But we got to keep a balanced approach. We don't want to hire all entry level because we also have a 4-month delay in getting them to the academy, which the academy is then 5 months, and then FTO is 3 months. So it'll be well over a year before we even see them impact our staffing as solo officers on the street. That's why we try and balance it with the laterals. We also later this week have a certified entry, which is the equivalent of lateral. They've already been to the academy. So as soon as they, if they're a qualified candidate, and we like them when we do our interview, make a job offer, it's a matter of getting them through the background, and then they'd be available for us to immediately jump into field training and get them out sooner. So as we fill the 4 slots that we have in the upcoming 5th slot, we'll try and take a balanced approach so that we take care of the long term with our entry while trying to address the short term with laterals.
Perfect. So, David, does the chief have enough money in his budget to field the 12 officers that he needs if he were to find them today?
So, Councilmember Sharp, right now the budget amount is, as Chief Juver said, is that he is budgeted for five officers that he is that are currently vacant. And so that is the current budgeted, adopted budget. In addition, there are seven. So you, to your point, he is budgeted for five, and if he was able to recruit and fill those positions, and then he would be coming back to the council for those extra seven that are frozen as part of the 2022 budget.
So if I'm hearing you right, the answer is no. He doesn't have the money in his budget to get the seven additional officers. If you were to find them today, you
right.
have to go through an entire process. Even though he's supposed to have the seven, he doesn't have the money to pay seven more people.
He has the budget for five.
Right, but and the seven additional that
the seven additional ones were not adopted in the council's adopted budget for 2022.
I see. So he just doesn't have the money to fill 12 total officers. He has five. But if he could get the seven, he can't really hire him because you don't have the money. Is that right?
The council has a policy of pipeline positions. And so he has an additional four that the council, through past policies, that we've always known that we should always be recruiting officers. And so the chief and his staff have been recruiting officers. And so I think in past conversations with the council, once he's able to fill those five, he will continue recruiting. And then there will be a conversation with the council about how do we amend the budget and find the resources to fill that budget gap that we have right now.
And if I could supplement real quick, with being short-staffed, we're already halfway through the third month. We've got some, for lack of a better term, staffing budget savings. So we can make those pipeline offers covering it with the budget that we currently have. But the intent would be that we do come back to council to try and address staffing should we get to the point where we're able to make job offers above what's budgeted.
So if you were to find seven officers that he wanted, that the city needs, how long does it take turnaround on average to get the money so he can hire them?
So first you have to hire the five.
Right. Let's say he gets past the five.
So if he gets past the five,
yeah,
and he starts recruiting additional for those pipeline that we're talking about, I'm sure that we'll get me back in front of the council telling you that and looking for those resources. And as the chief just said, is that he's been able to have some of those resources because it's already into 2022. So as soon as that happens, I'm sure the council will be the first ones to know when we've been able to recruit. Once we get the budget and we get approval from the council, that's the council's process. It usually would take you at least a month or two just to finalize the budget. But to give the authority is something the council can do at any time.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it.
All right. So let's move on. Hari.
So Chief answered the next question. The only last question, Chief, that you didn't completely touch on it is recently there were some meetings with WSDOT and county. Do you have any information to share on any of the meetings that you had with them?
Yeah, so that was a meeting that Representative Hackney and his staff had put together. We met, I want to say roughly 3 weeks ago. Does that sound right, David? In which case, we had a discussion about the bridge. Representative Hackney voiced his concern, as well as trying to put a plan together for us to address traffic coming off of 129th, where we're dealing with different jurisdictions as you get across the bridge, the other side of the bridge, with Seattle and King County being involved. So a subcommittee of that was put together. That to address how we're going to work together to solve the problem, that committee has not since gotten together since that meeting. We're still getting organized.
All right, now we were talking about this earlier. The response letter, I think, did address Representative Hackney's feelings about enforcement. Did you want to relate that back to us publicly?
Yeah, so Representative Hackney was concerned about the jurisdiction and making sure that enforcement was taking place on the bridge, referencing 129th. So we were addressing the actual jurisdiction, and it is Tukwila's jurisdiction on the bridge as the trucks come down it, or even as they're going up it. And so we are continuing our enforcement activities. We just have not had anybody violating speeding for which we can stop them, and we are not trained on commercial aspects yet. So that's leads to my earlier comment of trying to find that training for our officers so that we can then do that enforcement. In the meantime, the hope was to partner with Washington State Patrol, King County, and Seattle if they should happen to have individuals that are trained for doing that, and doing a joint effort of the enforcement. But again, the committee hasn't since got back together yet.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Chief. That's all we have for you. And you can stay on. We're going to continue with Public Works items.
Set some boundaries. I want at least 10 minutes to walk over to the other room. So we're going to probably stop at 10 till, one way or the other.
Okay. I'm just going to skim through some questions that you know, various questions I think of importance. Question number 8 has a question there saying, can short-term traffic calming solutions be put in place, such as fine speed cushions, et cetera? And the answer to that is Public Works is in the process of doing a traffic study. We actually have done a traffic study for the entire Allentown. So this was the money put in the traffic calming program in November of last year. So staff has done a great job just within the short duration of time, January, February. They hired a consultant, they gave all the information, they had the data, and they came up with some possible ways to mitigate some of the traffic issues, which some of them include a rectangular rapid flash beacons at the crossings on 124th. And there are some solutions on overall reduction of speed in Allentown for all vehicles, including cars and trucks, to reduce the problem. So staff is going to bring that March 21st to the next Transportation Committee meeting. And I want all of us to be taking our time and address this comprehensively, because we don't want to put traffic calming measures in one street that's going to divert the problem into the other street. That's why we're looking at all of the Allentown, the entire community, to be safe and follow the rules. So that's that item. And there are a few questions that were asked by the council members on the 214 TSNL meeting. So staff is working on a lot of these answers, including the question number 14, which is, the city need to purchase property for the 124th option? Short answer is no, city does not need to purchase any property of 124th. And again, like David mentioned, we heard it clearly from the community, the preferred option is 42nd. But we are going to bring all of these answers to the next tick. So on this list, it said 37, but what we missed the deadline to bring everything to 37 for the TSNL update. We'll bring it to 321. The question number 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, all of these were from the TSNL presentation. We have asked the consultant to make the renderings, like Councilmember Tosh has asked. We have Councilmember Tosh's table format that he has requested. And so we're putting it all together. We'll bring it to the next 21st meeting. And there was a recent question that has been coming up from the community about traffic impact study. So there were some examples that were shared, and I do want to thank all of the community for the work they've been doing, but I also want to share what we know at this stage. The traffic impact study is usually required for a private development when the private development is either attracting new traffic, such as a Walmart, a McDonald's with a drive-through, or a subdivision with 300 or 400 homes. And so the traffic impact study is required for those developments. And then usually the study results in a traffic signal or a stop sign or a right turn lane only. That type of result will come out of that. And the guidelines that the community has shared are put together by WSDOT for that type of study, which is usually done by the consultant and the developer and given to the WSDOT, so the WSDOT review and approves those. The bridge project we're doing is slightly different than a community or a development, such as a housing development or a Walmart. We're not creating or attracting any traffic. The bridge is already there. We're replacing it. So what is required for a replacement project is already in the TSNL report. If you look in the TSNL report, I don't have the exact page numbers in front of me, but there is a traffic study. There is a traffic for the next 40 years, what is the anticipated growth of number of trucks? What is the anticipated growth of cars that are coming onto the bridge is all included. So the required traffic information is in the TSNL. So I just want to bring that to your attention. But I can answer a few questions if you have a few more minutes to ask any questions. Thank you.
Councilmember Rodney?
No questions at this time.
Councilmember Sher?
The only question I have is it's kind of off topic a little bit. What did the motor pool cost that's located near Bowling Field? What did that building cost?
You're talking about the public works?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I'll have to get you that information. I don't have that in front of me. But
if you have an idea what it cost? No idea. I don't need it to the penny.
Right. No, I mean, the purchase, it was the last budget for that project, phase one, was about $34 million as part of the public safety plan.
Thanks. That's all I have. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hari, thank you for getting through what you could. We'll look forward to you coming back next time. I'm not going to add any questions because I know we got to get moving. Trying to think. Anything else? Oh, did you want to talk about meetings? Because I know Allentown people were asking if you're going to come back before the next meeting.
So right now we're planning on our scheduled monthly meetings with Allentown, and that will be back on March 22nd. This community survey was going to be where we will spend staff resources to get additional feedback from the community. But I think we heard fairly clearly from the community at the February 22nd community meeting. I stayed till 8:30 at night and heard from most members from that community. And so if there's additional conversations and communication, we're always open. We're up at 67 questions already about Allentown, so I think we can add that to that list. I think the recommendation that right now we're thinking about to bring to you at the 321 of replacing 42nd Avenue South Bridge in its current location is what we heard as the majority viewpoint at the Allentown meeting. So I think that will be seen as listening to that portion of the community. And so we just need to listen to the other parts of the community and see how that works when we bring that back to you as a full council on the 21st and then the 28th.
All right. So, thank you, council members. Thank you, staff and leadership. This meeting is adjourned. All right.